Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Do you trust someone who doesn't like a Pop-Tart?
Dirt.
Can I give you a hot take that might make people look at me and call me an idiot? I think Pop-Tarts are disgusting.
Sprague.
I used to raw dog Pop-Tarts religiously.
Dirt and Sprague.
I'm anti-Pop-Tart.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, the Fan Sports Network, Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Happy Monday. We would have been on time if you two idiots would have stopped talking about soccer.
Sizzler.
You know the beauty of it?
God.
Can I just tell you?
Yeah, what do you got?
You know, you might be right, ultimately. I could eventually just fade out of this Nottingham Forest
kick. How many games do they play in a year?
Their next game isn't until Saturday.
I know, they play like once a week, right? Is that
sometimes
usually how it goes?
Twice. They
sometimes
have midweek
twice.
Once in a
they
while.
They do have some midweek
and
games.
And Saturday, Sunday.
So
and
the then, season just started?
Season Five started mid-August.
Yeah. Mid-August. Okay, when's the end of the season?
May.
Dude, that is so far away.
I know, but if it's once a week,
so you play,
and I'm up early anyway.
They play 38 yeah. league matches.
Dear God.
So you play each team like in the league, home and away.
It's just something to have on when I wake up early.
Your
kid, that's all it is.
That season's just fresh underway, and yeah. it will not end until your kids are on the brink of summer vacation.
I know, isn't that crazy?
That is bananas. I didn't realize the year was that long. I do get that feeling about the Timbers, though, whenever they pop up, and I'm like, the Timbers
well,
are
the
still
other
playing?
Thing,
have they ended playing? Did they just start playing again?
Season's still happening.
The season's still going on?
Yeah.
Okay, just check.
There are specific weekends that are also, they have to go dormant. They're designated for international FIFA play.
No
so
yeah, thank you. Teams thank can, you.
I mean, I'm paying attention to it, but we don't need to dive in.
Let's... Before we get to the Civil War, again, you want to revisit the Civil War?
The other football.
The other football?
We spend to win.
Can we give a round of applause? How about a round of applause to the Washington State Cougars? Can we give the Cougs, do that deserve a round of applause? Is that a moral victory for the Cougs?
They lost by 35.
They got back within a touchdown and then just
I mean, they
coughed it up.
By five
we
touchdowns.
All thought that they were, they lost by 50 points to North Texas.
Yeah.
And that was a 7-point game at the start of the fourth quarter.
Well,
if I would have told you on Friday that the Apple Cup was going to be a 7-point game at the start of the fourth quarter, what would you have responded?
I would say, what is the final? And you go, they lose by 35. I'd say, well, nice little effort.
Look, they absolutely, look, the fourth
it's
quarter
nice
was ugly.
Effort. Can
That's
I just
what I'm saying.
It?
Give them a round of applause for a nice little effort. That game had far more juice than I thought it was going to have.
I will give you that.
That game was back and forth and entertaining for three quarters.
Crowd was into
it. I never thought that was going to happen.
Husky fans were on the road with the big dub flag.
Like that deserves,
was, there was some spiciness between the players.
Washington State's terrible.
Well.
And they put, they at least, they gave, they, it was a ball game. I didn't turn it off in the first quarter.
There you go.
Thank you.
I'll say
round
that
round of
again.
Applause. We didn't turn the Apple Cup off in the first quarter. Shout out to the Cougs.
You know, some at the Civil War were saying the same thing. It's a game at halftime. I'm like, it's literally not. They're going to get blown out, and then Oregon's going to play backups and crickets on my text line.
So. Yeah, those messages slowed down a little bit as the game went on.
They ceased to exist is basically what happened.
So I wanted to read this thought. I got to scroll back. Let me find it. Somebody sent in a tweet about, or excuse me, a text, and it was from a Beaver fan. For the love of God. Where the hell did it go? Essentially highlighting what we talked about earlier. And the oh, here we go. It read, Beaver fan here. I grew up going to every single Civil War with my family's house divided. We bought tickets this year and ended up just not going. I agree. No juice. Just feels like the teams are in different leagues. I had zero appetite to watch us get our teeth kicked in. And that, to me, was one of the bigger takeaways coming out of it. Like, you got the, for some reason, Oregon State fan claiming moral victory because they had one scoring drive and then they had three first downs the rest of the game.
Can I just interrupt you here?
Yeah,
I don't want
ahead.
To, but I have to. I'm sorry. I've talked to enough people. And I was around people watching. That's not a real thing.
Okay, good.
I don't think there was any moral victories. I think most Beaver fans saw that and said, yeah, about what we expected. Not close in any remote way, and our offense is terrible, and our defense can't really get a true stop when it matters, and our special teams, hey, they snapped the ball. Yeah, and they also gave up a fourth down conversion from
they
a
did,
punter
yeah.
on a long run. Like,
yeah.
All of that, still a disaster. And now you're a 12-point dog. That line's already climbed in a day. You're a 12-point home dog on a turnaround Friday against a Big 12 team that last time they played embarrassed Colorado. So
they did, yeah. Coming off a bye.
I don't want a couple media-based narratives that I'm not even sure are real narrative. I don't want that to be a projection of the fan base because I don't think that that's accurate.
Totally fair. They lose the game. Now they get Houston this weekend. The reaction for Oregon side is once again asking, like, what's wrong when they outgained them by nearly 500 total yards and gave up 8 first downs the entire game and only 1 in the second half. But it's like, hey, you gave up that one drive in the first half, though. What's wrong with your defense? Are there concerns? To me, the mindset of this game was essentially going in, can we just get into Penn State healthy next week? And then the game kicks off, and I'm like, all right, let's see what the juice is like, see how the game goes. My team seemed disinterested for the majority of the first half. Your team, outside of one drive, didn't do anything. And it just, the life in the stadium felt dead. If people were there, I'm curious to hear from you, like, because I didn't stay for this game.
I didn't watch the pregame show on the Big Ten. I wasn't around the TV.
I mean, the shout's always big, because that's the thing that I think people stay for. And then once shout's done, the stadium, you know, everybody scurries up the exits because they just want to see shout.
And the game's
you're
over.
You experience shout, and then you get, you know, you film it on your cell phone and put it on your Instagram, then you get the hell out of there to beat traffic.
It's a funny poll question. If you were at the Civil War,
did they definitely stay till the end of the third
quarter? Did you leave after shout?
Without a doubt, they did. If you could stay that long, you might as well stay till shout.
Yeah,
because the game was essentially over a couple minutes into the third quarter, after they scored off of that fake drive possession. To me, there wasn't a lot of juice. I came away with it saying, I don't know if I want this game to happen every year. I don't need this game to happen every year. I don't think the outcomes are going to be very different. I'm not saying that Oregon State does not have the ability to ever rise up and win one of these. That's not what I'm arguing. I think if you had built in a sense of urgency with this game, you know what? Hey, there's something teeing off this week. I'll give you an analogy. Let's turn it into like the Ryder Cup, where it's like, Every other year, every 2 years or something, like, you get every 4 years you're playing a game in Eugene, every 4 years you're playing a game in Corvallis. Does that make sense? Like, to me, having a buildup and a sense of urgency of like, man, we haven't seen the Civil War in 3 years. Maybe there's a little more juice going into it. Last year, we thought, hey, maybe Oregon State could pull off an upset here. The Ducks are limping into this game. The Beavs are undefeated, and that went out the window pretty quickly. This game is there any life to it? Not really. The game is over essentially at halftime. It's not a game that I think I need to watch every single year. And I came away with it saying I wouldn't be mad at all if it went away or it was just played on a every once in a while basis.
Well, if we're going to go Ryder Cup, can we also choose Brandon Cooks and then go through the
choose
list
Ryder Cup team
of the players that we like?
Steven
Jordan
Jackson,
Poyer come back?
Jordan Poyer can come back, definitely.
You represent our
Stephen Pye on the defensive line.
You know, I'd still take it, actually.
Find some pieces here.
We get some offensive linemen in the mix as well. Look, I hear what you're saying. I don't necessarily think you're even making invalid points. I totally get it. In most years of my life, there's never going to be a moment where this talent is remotely close. But we talked about that, and that was kind of seemingly a narrative takeaway from last week getting into the game as the future of it. Should it happen? Should it not happen? I weirdly watched my team get beat down and kind of thought, I want it to keep happening. Much like that listener, there was a real streak here. I went to that game every year.
You did?
It was a big deal to me. Not so much as like, I really hate the other and all. I just really love like how in-state we had something all that brought us together to watch. And so, yeah, most years this is going to end in that result, if not worse in some. But if they ever get their heads out of the you-know-whats and they decide that they need a coach that knows what's going on, There might be years where this is a little feisty and fun. It might be few and far between. I would totally grant you that. But I wouldn't mind having it. My only thing would be, one, very poor negotiating by our athletic director in the agreement of the reemergence of this game in a calendar year.
Not a lot of wins on Oregon State's side of that negotiation.
And I think Coug and Husky fan, maybe you agree with this sentiment as well, given the Apple Cup history. I would really love this game to be pushed into November. It just feels very bizarre to be at a 90-degree child soccer game watching this on my phone with a backpack blocking the sun so my phone doesn't get too hot and my screen turns dark.
Yeah, there's part of that for me of like, if this, even with the outcome, if this game was played at the end of the year and it's like Oregon's needs a win for
blank.
Insert the blood to stay right. Undefeated or a one more win to clinch right. A playoff spot or whatever the case.
Or can Oregon State get a 9th? Can they yes. Pull an ups? Can they keep this close?
Like, there's far more juice in the game.
Yeah.
Even in a year where Oregon State's 1-10 going into it or 2-9, like even in a year like that, they're still like, hey, If you lose this game, oh my God, it's ending your season. And not that that would have happened this week, but it's just so early in the year. The game's played in September, and it doesn't seem like it's going to be close in any time in the not-too-distant future.
And we see a lot of weird stuff, man. I'm not trying to pretend this game isn't something it's not. I'm just saying, like, if it's in the back end and Oregon has a great Husky team, maybe it's not the last game of the year, right? Maybe the Washington-Oregon game is the last conference game of the year, and you move this into mid to the week before of November, there's just something to college football. Because I thought watching the game, Oregon looked like a team. We kept hearing, like, we need to finish better. We need to do this and this from Northwestern. And we all picked a blowout. But I thought watching it, Oregon looked like a team that knew they didn't need to care that much and they were still going to win 41-7.
It looked like they've been prepping for Penn State for a while. Like, they're mentally there in Happy Valley this, like, weekend. Like,
yeah, and we see that.
Their brains are on a wideout.
But that's kind of my point of putting it at the back end. Oregon State cannot be great, and most years, again, the result may be this. Is there an element of our last Big Ten game is next weekend, and if we win, we'll be in a Big Ten title game? Three win or four win Oregon. Okay, sometimes there's weird stuff that happens, and it takes a reverse in an Apple Cup for an undefeated team that's going to go to the national championship game to beat Washington State at home. That can happen from time to time in the sport. So
yes,
that was my takeaway. Weirdly, I wanted to keep going. And weirdly, I just would ask that the game push to the end of the year. But
well, I think that's part of the problem.
Our athletic director turtled the negotiations.
Yes. That's part of the problem that I honestly have with it. We had somebody send us, let me go ahead and find this. Somebody tweeted us, I think it was on Friday. It was essentially like an open letter from the Oregon State fan base to Scott Barnes about
I saw this
situation. Yeah. And it's signed by Beaver fans. But it said, in the light of recent news and a new Civil War deal with Oregon, the Oregon State Beaver fan base completely and wholeheartedly rejects the deal that's made. Skipping over an Oregon State home game in the series is not acceptable. Is a horrible concession to the institution who wanted to bury us. The last time the Civil War had a hiatus was for World War II. Brings up the next issue when the game is played, playing the Civil War in week 3 or week 4. The last two seasons, respectively, is also a non-starter. The game is scheduled. They're being played anything less than a Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving shall be rejected by Oregon State fan base. But, I mean, it just goes on and on. And then we go back to, so we had Adam earlier on the YouTube chat, who's a diehard Beaver, who's like, I didn't watch the game. I don't interest in watching the game.
I don't blame you.
You mentioned earlier, we heard that there were, 2,000, Oregon State got an allotment of tickets, and they returned over half of them because they couldn't sell them.
Oregon State got 3,000 allotted tickets for this game. They only claimed 1,000 of them, which was, I was told, barely more than Montana State.
And this is where, like, and maybe I'm missing the point. Maybe people disagree. Maybe the people that were walking around the tailgate lots and, you know, joking with ducks and beeves. And, like, I have so many friends and family members who are Beavers, and my co-host is a Beaver. Like, I want it to mean something. I just don't feel like it doesn't. Like, if your fan base is either A, not watching or not even buying the tickets that are allotted to them and returning them, my fan base gets nothing out of winning this game. Like, and the only people who are talking trash after winning that are the losers online, who are the fake Twitter accounts who want to talk trash, and they're just doing it to create buzz and retweets and all that kind of stuff and interactions. Like, I don't, who wins here?
Like, well, Oregon technically wins. They got the W.
Well, I get that, but we don't. Like, I don't get anything.
Yeah, you got a ramp-up game for Penn State.
This win means no more to me than beating Oklahoma State or Montana State or Northwestern. And that's not the way that the game used to be, and I'm sad to admit that, but that's the spot that we're in right now.
Yeah, and I'm in the reverse of you 2016, where you lost and you felt sad with your pants being wet walking out of Reser, but that game got your coach turfed.
It did. I was really wet that day. That was a wet day.
I was hoping that I had the opposite, but the same result where...
Yeah, you were too competitive. It wasn't 72 to nothing. You needed a... You needed a...
We had a good first quarter. And you know what? I you know what I found myself saying and out loud watching this at home? I found myself doing what people are doing in politics now, where people with zero leadership, zero understanding of community and helping neighbors are now running for public office because they're popular online or they're on television, and so we just vote for these people. I found myself doing that, and I said, honest to God, I think I could be a better athletic director than this guy. He just feels like an empty suit collecting a paycheck. What do you do?
That is the Beaver Excellency Award winner you're talking
Beaver
about?
Beaver Champion.
Beaver Champion Award winner?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Champion. Not going to have a home game until 2028 in this game.
How many Beaver Championships have you won?
I mean, I probably couldn't do that job, but I found myself out loud saying, I could do that job. I think I could do that job.
It just, all of it compiling with last week, the announcement of the extension, and it only further angering one side of the fan bases in this rivalry.
Right.
It took even more juice out of it for me, because it felt like at least if you had had an announcement where the game's going to get restarted, but the next game will be in Corvallis, and we made Oregon negotiate on behalf of the Big Ten to say, you know what, we'd like for the tradition to be alive of playing this game in November. If you had won those two things, it would have felt like a PR win, and then I think there almost would have been more juice going into the game. But when you've already bent over, and then you continue to bend over more, and you lose another negotiation, and then the game happens, and it goes the way that everybody thinks it does, it's been rough, and I understand that in the long run I'm probably wrong here, and I get that it's big for local businesses and communities and all that, and families are divided. I understand it. I don't know who on either side of this gets anything out of the game other than the people who don't like football, who just want to be the rah-rah State of Oregon person. There was a lady in the stands had a shirt cut halfway with orange and yellow. Like, dude, get her out of there.
Lady.
Well, get her. We don't want you. Get her out of here.
Then you get parents, and it's like the house divided. One kid's at Oregon, one kid's at Oregon State. And like, some of that stuff is like, okay, pick a side. But like, I'm okay with that, too, because that's what I was for most of my childhood, was who's better and who has more at stake here to win. I would pay legitimate money to find out if it was even brought up in the phone call between Mullins and
Barnes.
To
move the game back.
To move the game at a different point. Because the whole, like, when it restarts thing, that's not shocking to me that they lost that argument. I want to know if it was even in the conversation. If he brought it up, I'd be pleasantly surprised. If he didn't, I would expect it.
That's also on the heels of them getting rid of a home game against BYU for a $2 million payout to go play the game in Las Vegas. So, you know. Any more thoughts on this? Or welcome 503-864-6326. We'll continue on a little bit and then get to a couple other things we missed in the college football weekend. That is next on 105.1 FM, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll see if I can get to some fun with the audio in a moment. I sent a couple things of swag that I stumbled upon from the weekend. I also enjoyed this. Somebody said, athletic directors don't decide schedules. ESPN does. First off.
Well, we don't need to highlight that.
How would ESPN decide Oregon's schedule when Oregon doesn't have a relationship with ESPN anymore? The Big Ten does not air any
or ESPN is not airing any Big Ten games, so ESPN has nothing to do with.
Yeah,
what
the only piece
of
that is if the Big Ten told
the Big Ten
Ducks,
conference
you can't
and they
schedule.
Might have.
They might have.
And that's
might
something
be a
that Scott Barnes
thing.
Should come out if it is true and say, "Hey, we tried and they said no." And then that's still not going to make you happy.
No,
but
it'd be a win in some
ESPN
ways.
Has nothing to do with Oregon's schedule. Wow. Oregon does not play games on ESPN anymore. They play on Fox and CBS and NBC, which is where they play this weekend.
Well, the real pressing question, I think, out of all of this is, are the Cowboys a playoff team?
That's what we're getting to talk about on First Take right now. Cam Newton believes the Cowboys are still a playoff team.
Has he watched the defense?
I don't think so, but he's got a cool hat on and a bow tie, and he's saying it very outlandishly. So
CeeDee
sure
Lamb got hurt this weekend. Dak was okay, but
okay,
I just,
they
like,
scored 14 points. They're terrible. The Bears are terrible. That was, yeah. No, no, they're not. ESPN will answer the question for you. Hey, DeCoria Moore looked pretty healthy this weekend.
Sometimes the internet's not right.
Yeah, that was some of those back shoulder throws. Like Dante missed some big, some easy ones, some layups.
Yeah,
somebody had the tweet.
The touchdown was really impressive.
It was
just
essentially like
fighting his way to it.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a cool opener. Basically, that Dante Moore missed a couple of layups early in the game and then started making fadeaway 3-point jumpers. Like there was that vibe of like wide open receivers. How did you overthrow him? And then the one like along the sideline to Malik Benson back shoulder. There were a bunch of completions that Oregon State gave up this weekend. They weren't even poorly. Like they had guys right there. There's nothing you could do. It's a good back shoulder throw. There's no way you can defend that. Mm. And there was some great throws in there. But DeCoria Moore had another nice performance.
I'm worried for Malik Murphy's mental health.
Yeah, I mean, that's the final takeaway I have from the game of just...
I'm just like it breaking. And I'm like, are you kidding me, man?
Their offense is...
It's looking like an all-time bad decision for him to go there.
Oh, it's a hard watch right now. He is really bad under pressure. Like, he hasn't been the primary culprit of them struggling in the start of the year. Mm-hmm. I would more so spread the blame elsewhere.
Sure.
He was horrible this weekend. Their offensive line did not help him. They did not run the football. All of that is valid.
Yeah.
He had moments where guys were wide open, where he's missing dudes, and he's...
I thought he had throws where he literally was speaking with his throw of like, nope.
Yeah, I don't want to get hit.
Nope.
There you go. Fade away.
Nope.
Yeah.
And they kept, like, I don't know what it is. I understand he can move. But we're going into some of these broadcasts, and they're acting like he is a big running quarterback. And he's...
Yeah, that's a thing that people keep
saying.
He kind
of has a weird
true.
Thing about him where people say that on the broadcast. You're like, that's not accurate.
No, I think maybe
but
it's
he can
just,
use his legs. He had a third down where he could have easily picked it up.
Dude, and he threw
and
it
he
across
threw
his
it.
Body.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing, dude? It's 4 yards.
Just go pick up the first down.
4 yards, buddy. Just help your team out a little bit there.
Yeah, he had a rough one. I don't know where their offense is going to go from here. It might just be as simple as their offensive line is bad. I continue to question... The playing of Jabari Johnson in spots of just what have any of those plays worked this year?
They had a fumble when he went in there, didn't they? A
probably, maybe that was at the end of the game. There was a fumble at the end. Yeah, you're right. On the zone read, there was a miscommunication.
I watched
him
to the
and
end. I was a sicko. I'm sorry.
I mean, I did too. I went back and actually watched it twice because I watched them all twice. But
yeah, you know, a lot of times the best possible way you can speak is with your wallet. I do wonder about the attendance for Friday. I also wonder if, let's hold the if here, if this gets out of hand and Houston comes in and does what Vegas thinks they're going to do, which is win by 2 scores.
Yeah, they're nearly a 2-touchdown favorite in Corvallis.
If it gets really, I just like, is there going to be chance? Is there going to be any noise? Or is it just going to be a lot of empty seats with people half drunk, not caring?
Yeah.
As the only way this changes is if the fans speak up. And this whole like, let me do my PR interview and publicly back somebody and then like have no accountability for the coach after having that performance. If it's followed up by another one.
Yeah.
What is the break point here? Because I think fans dictate a lot of this stuff.
I absolutely do, too. A couple more quick thoughts here, and then we'll go to some fun with audio, hopefully, and then some NFL nuggies. Beaver fan here. The Civil War's lost all its juice. The Ducks and Beavers are no longer conference rivals. The game is far too early to have it matter. I hate to say it, but why are we keeping alive this tradition? Tradition would have been keeping the Pac-12 alive in its previous form. Hmm. It's okay to let this phase out, too. We aren't in the same conference. We aren't rivals anymore. Both teams need to find new rivals in their respective leagues. Hmm. And one more I'll read here. The thing is with Oregon State and any team that's out talented is they just don't try to throw haymakers. No real trick plays, no reverses, no flea flickers, just nothing. Throw the ball deep, maybe get a pass interference, maybe get a holding call, maybe makes a catch. basically just stale and vanilla and predictable, do something crazy like a halfback pass. I do tend to agree with that. Mm. There just wasn't a lot of like rolling of the dice from Oregon State side. So yeah, we'll see where it goes from here. They got the extension in place. Like a lot of this is moot anyways, because they're going to continue to do what they want to do from a business standpoint. It's more about just, to me, the fans are speaking of, does either side want this after the game?
So somebody asked earlier, like, where does this come in for all time seasons? What I would say is, I don't know, man. I'm not properly
like all-time
versed.
Bad seasons for the Beavs, you mean?
Just, yeah, and like, I'm not properly versed. I know how bad the records looked in the 80s and the 90s and the 70s. Like, I understand all of that. What I would say is, in my lifetime, never forget, they had a coach that everybody thought had turned a corner because he won four games. He then turned around and was a dud, quit midseason, and then his team finished 1-11. And at your lowest possible point, you found a good coach.
You did?
Like, this doesn't have to be a death sentence for the next 30 years.
No.
College football, if you're smart and you're progressive enough with how you're picking your coach,
and you're investing money and you're being...
Yes, you can get out of a dumpster. Now, are you ever going to get to an Oregon level? No, that seems unrealistic. But the idea that this program can't move on and be good or competitive in their new conference and have maybe a couple surprise years against Oregon, I just dismiss the idea and thinking that that is an impossibility. It is not. You just have to be aggressive, and you have to go be willing to spend a little bit of money and find the right person, man.
I've been told it's darkest before the dawn.
Yeah.
That's out there.
Right now,
it was pretty dark for me when Mario Cristobal left and another Oregon head coach walked away. That was not this level of love for Oregon State, because, you know, for obvious reasons, but that was a pretty big kick in the nuts, and things have worked out pretty well for us.
Yeah, you picked an assistant that nobody knew and coordinator that you're like, oh, that guy that won the title? Okay, I guess.
Sure.
And it's worked out rather well for you. But I guess I dismiss the idea that this is now forever an inescapable pit of misery that you can't get out of. It's not true, man. Jonathan, aside from the ties, he's a good coach.
Yeah.
And he got you out of it. It took him a couple years, but it gets you out of it. You got to find the right coach, and that's the important part here.
We'll see how Friday night goes. Civil War happened this weekend when it's, as we all thought it would, and felt pretty dead to me. We'll see how it feels the years to come. Not next year, because there won't be a game next year, so we get 1 year off. Let's get to some fun with audio from the weekend. We'll do that coming up next. All right, welcome back in. Always good to see Schulte. Schulte's walking around today, filling in for Jeff Rust.
Already got the NFL factoids.
Oh, you ready for Factoid
Not
Tuesday?
Not all of them, but I've got some good factoids down for tomorrow. Yeah,
and
I'm pretty stoked.
We get a great game to react to tonight. That would be awesome. We'll talk about that to close up the show.
Super Bowl preview?
Ooh, cool. Could be. You never know.
I think we buried the Lions way too quickly.
We did.
We absolutely
Not
did.
Not we, but there's some people in the media that were quick to say, no coordinator.
I think when you have storylines coming into the year and then you get one example of being like,
uh-oh,
and then it's like you immediately rush to judgment.
Because
that was the storyline on the Lions, is can they replace the coordinators? And the first time we see them, they got whooped by Green Bay. They didn't look good offensively. And it's like, uh-oh. And to be fair, they did just, what are they, 1-1, right? They beat up on the Bears. Like, the Bears
were
pretty
bad. Yeah, the Bears was a revenge tour.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see how they both look tonight. That's what I'm saying.
The loser of this will be 1-2.
It's below 500.
Yeah, but you're still going to buy both
teams.
Yeah, but
come on.
Yeah.
And that the AFC North does not look intimidating in any way now that the Burrow injury happened, and that Rodgers Steelers offense is
Rodgers.
And the Browns are the Browns.
Rodgers.
And I think the Lions, like the Packers, might be the cream of the crop in that one. And then, is it Minnesota with Wentz? You could argue Wentz is better than McCarthy.
Well, if that Vikings defense does that on a regular basis, that's
I don't
an
know
issue.
If Isaiah Rodgers is going to have two touchdowns.
I don't know if that's realistic to ask for. Was that the greatest defensive game in NFL history?
It's up there.
It's in the conversation.
Has to be up there, right? Like, that's rarefied air that he was
in. It's
in
the conversation.
Everything that transpired yesterday.
My point is, I think no matter what happens, the outcome is both teams are still really good. And my other takeaway from the weekend, as we go into Monday Night Football, maybe Michael Jordan and Nike will always be number one. Can you think of a better partnership than Applebee's and Dan Campbell?
Whew. That's pretty good. It's a pretty good one.
Can you think of a better one?
Let me noodle on that.
Because I think he's the Applebee of NFL coaches for many.
Just wholesome content.
Always there for you.
Always there. Yep. Always going to put a smile on your face.
Randomly, you go there and you're like, I haven't had a good experience. You know, that wasn't a bad experience.
It was kind of affordable, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't have a lot of blind spots when it comes to Oregon's football roster, but I will admit one of my blind spots coming into the year, and then early in the season, because they didn't really have to play him, is their punter. Oregon's punter. But we learned about him this weekend. His name, James Ferguson Reynolds.
Had no idea.
Neither did I. I also didn't know where he was from. I didn't know that we had an Australian punter in Eugene.
Well, you're copying Kyle Whittingham.
I mean, how do you not? Their punters have been outstanding for a long time. You got to go. I don't know what it is about Australians punting. I'm sure there's some deep dive story that's happened that we've talked about over the years.
No, there's a guy down there that just runs a clinic and
building punters in a lab.
Kicker factory. Rugby.
So they allowed, whenever you make a big play, they like pick and choose what players can go talk to the media. He had a pretty funny play. They let him go talk to the media after the game.
Nobody even thought to watch him on that punt. No. I went and rewound and watched him.
Nobody was paying attention.
Not a single person.
You can tell in his head, he's like, wait, oh my God. Oh my God. I'm going to do it. And then he did it. And here is the Ducks punter in his phenomenal Australian accent getting interviewed after the game.
It was awesome. It was fun. You know, I just went out there for a normal punt and, grabbed the ball and saw a big gap and thought, why not take it? Never run in my life, so that's where the slide came in. I had a little bit of fun there and thought I was a bit of a football player for 5 minutes. But, just saw some space and took it. So, yeah, it was good.
Can we get him on?
I think we need to get this guy
on
the show.
I'd love to interview this kid.
Just an ask him about Australia.
How old is he? Is he one of those 25-year-old Australians that got a scholarship? He's like, sure, why not?
I'll go play.
What else am I doing?
He is a senior. I don't know. Yeah. He's got a mullet and a mustache, too.
How many times have you guys punted this year?
I believe six.
Six total?
I think you guys made us punt 3 times this week. Is that right? 2 times? Three
sure,
times?
I believe you.
Sure. Why not? Anyways, that was an awesome Australian accents will get me to play them anytime I hear them, and that was a pretty good one. Now a fan of our punter.
When he started getting towards the line of scrimmage with the ball, because he does one of those running angle punts, and I went,
yeah.
Oh God, there's a lane there.
There's a lane
there.
Is he going to see it? He saw it. And then he slid out of bounds, too, which, you know.
Dude, he picked up like 20 yards.
He did. 21 yard
exactly
game.
What you would want him to do.
He was already out of bounds, and then he slid. It's not like he was avoiding contact.
Don't act like it wasn't cool. Don't act like it wasn't cool.
This was the other highlight audio-wise of the weekend. So I mentioned last week, you know, who I can't remember what the segment we were doing was, but basically who should be scared this weekend of the outcome of their game. And I gave you Nebraska, because Nebraska can't beat ranked teams. They've been in this spot a million times over the last decade, mm-hmm. where they've knocked on the door, they can't kick it down, and they find a way to lose, and then they're all left wondering, at what point do we get there? Well, they played Michigan at home this weekend, and I did not know a lot about this guy, but he was on game day Saturday morning talking S to Nick Saban. I guess they've been friends for a long time, and he gave him a hard time about not buying a car from one of his dealerships. Like, this guy's got a great sense of humor. Had you ever heard of Biff Pogge before?
No, but I learned his name watching the football game.
How do you not?
Right.
And then they interview him after the game, which remember when Sharon Moore filled in and he cried after the Penn State win?
Coach, it's for you.
And like immediately you're like, oh, this guy's a douche. I already don't like him. Here's Biff Pogge.
Really, that was your takeaway?
That was my takeaway. Like, oh, I love you, Jeff. You did nothing wrong. Like, yeah, you cheated. We all know you cheated. It's okay.
Wow.
Here's Biff Pogge after the game. Hey, how you going to go celebrate, Coach?
What are you going to do tonight to celebrate?
I'm going to eat some Haagen-Dazs coffee ice cream with my wife. And smoke a Cuban cigar, and then probably go to the hospital.
Dude, I'm a fan. I want that guy on my coaching staff.
Is he suggesting naked like sex ice cream? Is what he's
naked
like,
sex ice cream, and then the cigar on top of it might cause some heart problems, and he's gonna need to go to the hospital.
Is it the cigar or the ice cream that's causing the heart problems? Because he wasn't
a
small
combo there.
The combo there, yeah.
Also, very rare. How often has a Biff had a win?
Not very many Biff wins
usually
over the years.
Usually Biff ends in manure.
That's not a good ending for Biff.
And he wasn't like, I hate manure. He was winning.
I'd never heard of this guy before until last week. You're like, wait, who's filling in for Michigan? Biff? Who? And then you kind of read into his story. Go watch his interview that he did on game day. I don't know how him and Saban know each other.
Well, he's a lifer,
bro. He was like a high school coach for a long time. He hasn't been in college football for that long. I think Harbaugh was the one that hired him when he got to Michigan. So he's only been around for like a decade. Maybe it was like a powerhouse program where guys recruited from often, but he had a great back and forth with Nick Saban where Saban gave him a hard time basically saying, you paid all your players in high school. We know you didn't do any coaching. You were just a CEO type. And then he responded, well, I learned it from the best from you paying all your players. It's a great back and forth interview. So well, funny moment.
There. So here's my only follow-up to that is there any part of the Nebraska fan, maybe it's just like, hey, Jimmy's and Joe's versus our Jimmy's and Joe's. Your head coach is on the sideline. Pretty tight game, right? They had some big plays they gave up, but they were still in that game.
They were.
The other sideline had a Biff Pogge with ice cream, coffee flavored, and cigars. Like, is there any element of the fan base that watches this and goes, cool, a guy I've never heard of is coaching Michigan and they have beaten us? Or is college as simple as like, their players are better than ours. How does that operate
in people's
minds?
If I were a diehard Nebraska fan today, I think my two biggest takeaways was, one, the Mahomes stuff is really uncomfortable, and I kind of just want him to shave his head at this point and change his number. Like, can we just get away from the Mahomes thing for my quarterback?
Oh.
Because he's continuing to get defensive about it, about how I had this haircut for, like, at pretending as if he's not cosplaying him. And it's very strange to have a quarterback in college at a big-time program who might be a first-round pick cosplaying an NFL quarterback. I just don't trust you initially. And then maybe our head coach should stop hosting podcasts every week.
I was going to ask, do you think he talked to Portnoy right after for a follow-up? And did he play his own audio on his podcast?
I'd love for Isaac and Suk to ask Lanning this week of, like, hey, how much time in your week do you think you have to carve out for an hour-long podcast episode? And to hear his laughing reaction of, like, yeah, no, I don't have.
Well, I don't know if
that.
He'll be laughing at any answer this week.
I don't know if
he will.
It's
a pretty serious week.
Yes. Probably be very short and be like, no, are you serious? You think I have time for a podcast? No, I do not have time for a podcast.
Yeah.
So that would be my bigger takeaway. But Biff Poggi, immediately fan favorite. Now I kind of root for Michigan the rest of the year. Thankfully, my team doesn't have to play him. Let's wrap it up. Monday Night Football is a doozy. We'll close it up next on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back in. Final one for us on a Monday. It just flew by. It always flies by. Football reaction Mondays are the best. So many things to get into. So many leftovers from tomorrow that we haven't even talked about yet.
We have one Nebraska fan tweeting us saying, I'm not worried about Raiola at all.
Okay.
Rule will get us there. We're still a year away, but we're getting there. It's a bigger, tougher conference than we're... than where he turned programs around in the past. So it's tougher to do it in the B1G.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that thought. I'm also not out on Raiola as like a quarterback prospect or like can't win a bit. It's just weird. It's very weird, and that's not going away. And it makes me uncomfortable, the old cosplaying Mahomes thing. You just find your own identity, buddy. Like that, I think, would serve you well. And the podcast stuff, look, if they win the game, nobody's saying, why are you hosting a podcast? But that's the point. You lost. And I don't know how good Michigan is. Like, I think Michigan's good. You can argue maybe they're in that next tier of the Big Ten, but I don't think Michigan's a legitimate Big Ten title contender. Do you?
No, not this
like,
year.
Like, I wouldn't put... No, no not. I'm not no. saying not ever again, but like as of right now, I wouldn't put money on them to go win the Big Ten.
But could that team beat Ohio State again?
I mean, they were terrible last year when they beat Ohio State.
I actually wouldn't put it past them to be able to do that. Yes. If they can run the football, man, they're going to control everything.
That's a rivalry that has become the ultimate cliche of, I don't care what your records are going into that game. Throw them all out the window, because last year, nobody saw that coming. Boy, oh boy, do we have a great football weekend ahead of us, too. It's going to be a really fun week on the show. A lot of stuff lined up. It is easily the best slate of the college football weekend, maybe one of the best that we've had in a long time. You got the Ryder Cup. You got an incredible NFL slate this weekend. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's the final week of the MLB regular season. So, boy, buckle up. It's going to be a fun week. We close week three of the NFL tonight with an awesome game. And I'm wondering, do we have a lean either side, or are we all in agreement of let's just bet the over and root for lots of points because we should get lots of points?
I probably actually lean a little bit Baltimore, but 4.5 was last I checked. It makes me feel super uncomfortable. I love the over most of the time. These offenses,
I believe, the over under
still
is 50,
4.5, 53.5,
53.5
on the total.
Over under.
Yeah, I tend to lean and always love the over at that play.
This is one of those games where sometimes you get them and you just hope that they live up to the hype. This one on paper has me very excited tonight. Of just explosive plays, Lamar doing his thing, Derrick Henry, Goff chucking it down the field. Like, I hope this one lives up to the hype.
Baltimore too, man. Like, Henry's had back-to-back games with a fumble.
Yes, he has.
And so Baltimore's kind of been one of these, like, we all know how good they are. Handling their business against a Lion team that I have a lot of respect for would go a long way, I think.
Yeah, I think it'd go a long way for each of them, right? The Ravens losing in week one the way that they did, blowing the lead, and then the Lions kind of getting worked by Green Bay and then bouncing back with a nice win. I think it reestablishes both of them with a win. I'm not, look, it's week three, so you're never going to overreact positively or negatively to a win or to a loss tonight, but I do think it's a firm reminder for the winner of this game of, like, that's right, they're in the mix, clearly. And the Ravens would be, I mean, they're going to be running away with that division, I think we would all gamble on. And the Lions, we'll see how it shakes out. The Packers looked infallible a week ago, and now they lost at home, or not at home, but they lost to the Cleveland Browns, who don't have an offense. And so the Packers, all of a sudden, I know they have the head-to-head win over Detroit, but they don't seem to be an unbeatable juggernaut that maybe we thought they were 7 days ago and all overreacting to, myself included. Excited, man. Should be a lot of fun. Anything else on the docket for tonight, or is that it? Monday Night Football?
That's
no,
it.
No, Monday
me.
Night Football. It's a light night of Major League. Most teams are traveling to set up the last week. No WNBA playoffs tonight. So
You're not going to be glued to Brewers and Padres tonight?
No. Probably not.
No.
No, I won't be.
Your division lead's only down to three, Swag.
Ravens have Chiefs next weekend.
It's been three for like a month and a half. The Padres have had a chance to get there, and they haven't.
I did enjoy the Friday night Kershaw final start. At least we hit a leadoff home run against him. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, I wish he could have stretched it out to five.
He got the win, didn't he?
No, he didn't go five
innings. They got the win as a team.
I know they got the win, but I think he got the win.
They unleashed it in the fifth inning.
When he got taken out. Still cool to see, though. Stafford was there, too, his high school buddy.
Yep.
Kind of a leftover from the weekend.
Stafford and Kershaw grew up together?
They did. You know that?
I didn't know that.
Do you know that Bo's brother got a win in Tampa yesterday? Tez? He's down there.
Tez Johnson?
Yeah. They're brothers. Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I don't know. Not many people know that, though. Well, hopefully Lions and Ravens lives up to the hype. That will do it for us, folks. If you miss any of the show, you can go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at Dirt and Sprague, and at 1051thefan on Twitter. Busy week, man. What a college football slate. I'm getting rid of the kid this weekend. Kicking him out. I'm sending him to juvie.
I don't know if his grandparents would be classified as that.
It's a football weekend, baby.
I would argue he's probably going to get more spoiled.
Oh, he absolutely is. He'll be just fine. I just looked at the slate, and I'm like, I need some uninterrupted football time here. This is a pretty big game. Can't wait, baby. It's going to be a lot of fun. If you watch the show on YouTube, make sure you like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. And thanks so much for being a part of our Monday. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The firm of Harrison Marang is next. You're listening to 105.1 FM The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.